I'm going to read a passage first from the book of Mark, chapter 9. Our Lord was challenged by a man with an afflicted son. And there's an interesting conversation takes place here. It says in verse 17 of Mark 9, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. The Lord Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto the Lord Jesus, and when Christ saw him, straightway the Spirit tare him. He fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. And the Lord Jesus asked his Father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, isn't that interesting there? If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I do believe. Don't you? I do believe. But I have to pray with this man. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. I jotted down 6 things which I know about faith. If you want to take them down, you're welcome to do so. All things are possible to them who believe. If you can believe, if I can believe on the Son of God. One man answered this way. Our Lord said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he that I might believe? Tell me who he is, and I will. I'll believe on him. Our Lord said to Peter one day, will you go away? He said, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that. I believe that. All right, here are the things that I know about faith. One, where true faith is found. And he said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on this earth? Well, I know where true faith is found. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It's the work of God. Faith is not the product of our own efforts. It's the gift of God. Let me show you these scriptures. First of all, in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. You're saved by the grace of God through faith. A man's not saved who doesn't believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But this faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship. So where you find faith, it's the gift of God. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's a gift of God. And turn with me to Philippians 1, right over just a few pages. Philippians 1, verse 29. Listen to this. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on, but to suffer for his sake. Faith is the gift of God. It's given to you, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. And Brother Joe Turner read a scripture over in the Psalms. I want you to turn to this and look at it. In Psalm 147, Psalm 147, and we were discussing this and applying it to our own selves. The Lord says here in Psalm 147, verse 18, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He's the one that broke our hearts and melted us and brought us to Christ. He did it. He sent his word. I made this statement recently. The only thing I know, the only broken thing that's useful, you know, you can't use a broken mirror. You can't drink out of a broken glass. You can't write with a broken arm. You can't walk with a broken cane. But the best thing you can have is a broken heart. God will bless a broken heart. God, he said he dwells with the broken heart. He enters the broken heart. And who breaks the heart? He does. He does. I've tried to break some hearts by breaking some heads. It won't work. It won't work. It just won't work. He breaks the heart. And it says he sends his word and melts them. Now watch it. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob. He showed his word to Jacob, his statutes, his judgments to Israel, and he hath not dealt so with any nation. Passed them all by. The Egyptians and the Amorites and the Babylonians and the Hittites and the Philistines. He took his word and showed it to Jacob and Judah and Israel, his judgments, and he hath not dealt so with any nation. But he dealt with us that way. And I see all the pagan practices identified and associated with religion today. And I say, don't they know? Don't they know? No, they don't know. They read the word, but they don't understand it. They have ears, but they don't hear. They've got eyes, but they don't see. They've got hearts, but they don't understand. Now, why do we understand? He told Peter, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father did. The angel came to Mary and said, you found favor with God. You found favor. Blessed are you among women. You found favor with God. Oh, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So where you find faith, may it be found here and there. It's the gift of God. Secondly, where faith is found, it's the mark of divine election. It's the mark of divine election. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestinated, he called. He called. You're the called of Christ Jesus. If you'll turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, faith is the faith of God's elect. Oh, I tell you, I love that word, election, don't you? It's a blessed word. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. 'Tis grace that wrote my name in God's eternal book. It's grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Faith is the mark of divine election. Look at Titus 1. Titus 1, verse 1. It says here, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. According to the faith of God's elect. Only the elect will believe. Only the elect. And the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life. Another scripture I want you to look at is Romans 11. Am I one of God's elect? If I believe, I am. If I believe, I am. He said, Romans chapter 11, verse 5 says this. Romans 11, 5. Even so, at this present time, also, you know, Elijah said to the Lord, just kill me. I'm the only one left. Just kill me. I'm the only one left. And he said, no. He said in verse 4, what saith the answer of God to Elijah? Well, he said, Elijah, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to Baal, to the image of Baal. We're living in a day of unparalleled heathen pagan religion. I guess religion is more pagan today than it ever has been before. And yet our Lord has reserved himself a people. Now watch it. Verse 5 says, even so, Elijah. He said that to Elijah. And then he says, even so then, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it's by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's of works, it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is not work. And Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest are blinded. Oh, where you find faith, it's the mark of divine election. All right, thirdly, where you find faith, you find spiritual life. Spiritual life. Let's turn to the book of John. In our Bible class this morning, we studied this first chapter of John. John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. But while you're finding that, John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 5, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. You believe Jesus is the Christ. You've been born of God. And the religious world's got that backwards. They say, in order to be born of God, you believe. But no, I believe because I'm born of God. I'm not born because I believe. I believe because I'm born. I'm not born again because I love Christ. I love Christ because I'm born again. He said he passed by the deserted infant, polluted in its blood, to the loathing of its person. And he said it was the time of love. I passed by you and saw you polluted in your blood. And the time was the time of love. I loved you. You didn't love me. I passed by you. You didn't come to me. I came where you are. You didn't come to me. You had no thought toward me or love for me or regard for me or interest in me. You didn't even know the mess you were in. But I passed by you and I said, live. It was a time of love, and you lived. And here in John chapter 1, it says in verse 10, he was in the world. He who made the world was in the world, and the world didn't know him. And he came into his own tabernacle, priesthood, people, sacrifices, and type, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and we have, haven't we? To them gave he the power, privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe. And we have, haven't we? We believe on his name. Well, what was the cause of this? I'll tell you, verse 13, which were born. These people received him and believed on him because they were born. Not of blood. That is not a fleshly inheritance. I'm not saved because my daddy was. I'm not redeemed because my mother was. Rebecca and Isaac had two sons. And one of them God loved, the other God hated. And these were born, and they were born not of blood, not of human genealogy, and not born of the will of the flesh. That is, not of your own will. You didn't will to come to God. He willed for you to come. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You came not because you're willing, but you came because he is willing, and he made you willing. Not of the will of the flesh, and not of the will of man, of another man. This birth, these people who the world knew him not, and his own received him not, but some did receive him, and some did believe on him, and he put a difference. He made the difference. They were born. That's why they received him. They were born. That's why they believed on him. They were born, but not of blood, not of their own will, not of the will of somebody else. Three words. But of God. Born of God. Born of God. And that's when you find faith, this genuine faith. Oh, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And where you find this faith, it's the work of God, it's the gift of God. It's the mark of divine election. As men, turn to Acts 13:48. Turn over here a minute. It's the mark of divine election. Acts 13:48. Look at it now. Acts 13:48. And Paul said, I turned to the Gentiles. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. He doesn't say as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. He says as many as were ordained to eternal life. It's a gift of God. It's a mark of divine election. And where you find true faith, you find life. Spiritual life. Fourthly. And where faith is found, faith in Christ, a love for Christ, there dwells true Israel. There's true Israel. Now, Israel in the Old Testament was a nation that God raised up among other nations. It's a nation God raised up and blessed. He blessed them materially. He blessed them in many ways. Though they were people, most of whom did not know God. Did not believe God. They were a backslidden, rebellious nation, but they were a type, they were a picture of true Israel. They were a picture of the Israel of God, of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a picture of true Israel. Now, where you find faith, you find true Israel. Now you say, well, who is true Israel? Well, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And here in Galatians 3, we have an answer to that question, who is true Israel? Those folks over there in Jerusalem, there's a conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelites, the Israelites. And they both came from the loins of Abraham. There's Ishmael's family and there's Isaac's family. They've been warring for 4,000 years. They've been at one another's throats. And they claim, well, we're the sons of Abraham. The Ishmaelites, the Palestinians say, Jerusalem's ours. We're true Israel. We're the seed of Abraham. This group over here says, no, we're the seed of Abraham. And most of the preachers are on the side of this bunch. And some of the rest of the third world countries are on the side of this bunch. And they say Jerusalem's a holy city and the holy land. It belongs to the holy people and all that. Neither one of them are seed of Abraham. Neither one of them are the sons of Abraham. Neither one of them are Israel. Not either one of them. I hear preachers say, God's going to judge us for the way we treat Israel. Yeah, for the way you treat true Israel. Not those bunch of renegades. Hadn't got anything to do with God. That bunch of people doesn't have anything to do with God. Now you listen to this. Where you find faith, you find Israel. Galatians 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm a child of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham if you believe on Christ. You believe Christ? You believe he's the Son of God? You believe he's the Messiah? Have you received him? Then you're a Jew. I'm a full-fledged, absolute Jew. Judah, that's right. Absolute, full-fledged Jew, Israelite. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. All right, look at verse 15 and 16. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Oh, preacher, there it is. God made that promise to Abraham and his seed. He surely did. Absolutely. He promised them the land. He promised them salvation. He promised them that they'd be his people and he'd be their God. He promised to bless them, Abraham and his seed. Oh, don't stop reading, though. He saith not unto seeds, Palestinians or Ishmaelites or Isaacites or as of many but as of one, to Abraham and thy seed, Christ. There, the promise is made to Christ, in Christ and through Christ, to Abraham and his seed, who's Christ. That's right. All right, verse 25 now. Verse 26, Galatians. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Don't resurrect it. Don't bring it back. Don't try to make it so. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Isn't that clear? Where you find faith, saving faith in Christ Jesus, there you find Israel. That's Israel. Israel. Philippians, one other scripture here on this point. Philippians 3. Let's look at it. Philippians 3, and that is an important thing. Philippians 3. Now watch this. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now to write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous, but to you it's safe. Now beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. What's your reference there? Isaiah 56:10. That's talking about false preachers. Isaiah called them dogs, dumb dogs that don't bark, don't warn people. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, beware of the circumcision, beware of this ceremonialism, Judaism, and circumcision, and this. I hear people talk about our Judeo-Christian ethics. No. Our ethics are Christ ethics. Not Judeo-Christian ethics. There's no Judeo-Christian. Jews are believers, aren't they, child? For we, listen, verse 3, you beware of this, for we are the circumcision. What is the circumcision? It's Israel. Circumcision, he gave it to Abraham. It distinguished them from all of the nations. All of the nations. Wasn't a nation on earth had circumcision but Israel. That was a token of God's presence among circumcision. And he says, now we're the circumcision. Who are we? We, number one, who worship God in spirit who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in this flesh, in our heritage or ancestry or background or anything else, just Christ Jesus. That's the circumcision. So where you find faith, it's the gift of God. Where you find faith, it's the mark of divine election. Where you find faith, you find spiritual life, alive unto God, born again. Born again, never to die. Where you find faith, you find Israel, God's chosen people. All right. Fifthly, where true faith is found, it produces obedience. It produces obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to His Word, obedience to the faith. That's what He said over here in Romans 1. In Romans chapter 1, when Paul started this book, this book of Romans, which is the gospel, he says in verse 1, now watch this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom, by Christ, we have received grace, apostleship for obedience to the faith, or to the obedience of faith among all nations for his name, obedience to the faith. You see, this is the theme of the book of James. A lot of people want to raise a conflict between James and Paul, and it's just not so. Paul, in the book of Romans, is talking about the justification of the soul. It's by faith and not by works. It's by faith alone. Our souls are justified before God apart from works of any sort. James is talking about the justification of our faith. Now you turn with me to the book of James. Faith saves. Faith redeems the soul. But it's a certain kind of faith. It's a saving faith. It's an obedient faith to the obedience of faith. That's what we're talking about, to the obedience of faith. And brethren, I'm telling you this, and brother, I talked to brother Tom Harding about this. The places I've been and people to whom I've been exposed that feel like that they're honoring Christ and honoring God when they talk about God saving a man without the gospel. That's not honoring to God. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is essential to faith. A man's got to hear the gospel to believe. And then they go too far this way. They over here, they say, well, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what kind of life I live or what my language and conversation attitude is. I'm saved by grace. No, that doesn't honor God either. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and faith is a faith that works and labors and loves and serves. And that's what James is saying. Look at it, if you will, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can that kind of faith save? Can that kind of faith save? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say thou, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It won't save, it's dead faith. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, there's the key passage right there. Faith is justified by works. A man says, I believe Christ. Well, he'll walk with Christ. He'll glorify Christ. He'll love Christ. He'll serve Christ. And he'll love God's people. You see, when you read over in Hebrews about all these people, it gives in Hebrews chapter 11 that all of these folks that believe God, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abel believed God, and he offered a sacrifice. Moses believed God, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of God's people. Rahab believed God and dropped the line out the window. Noah believed God and built an ark. Abraham believed God and left his household, father's house, and offered Isaac. All of these people believed God, and they believed God with a faith that works. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Where you find faith, you find obedience. I hear people say, well, a Christian ought to pray. They all do. Say, a Christian ought to love God. He will. A Christian ought to be generous. He will. Christians are. Where you find faith, you find obedience. You find good works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul says to this church at Thessalonica, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. I remember these three things about you. It's a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. All right, in the sixth place, where true faith is found, there will be a true witness and an open witness to the grace of God and the goodness of God. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. People sometimes ask me about preachers that they hear, and they say a few good things, and some preachers who claim to believe the message of free and sovereign grace, and they say, but they believe it, but they don't preach it. That's nonsense. You listen to Paul here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. He's quoting David. And he says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Paul says, we also believe, and therefore speak. What we believe, we speak. What we believe, we speak. Now, that's the life of faith. To me, that's the mark of the life of faith. I'll give them to you again in closing. Where true faith is found, it's the gift of God. It's the work of God in the heart, in the soul. Where true faith is found, that's God's elect. It's the mark of divine election. Where true faith is found, there's spiritual life, walking with the King. Where true faith is found, that's true Israel. That's a child of God. Where true faith is found, there's obedience, a work of faith and a labor of love. And where true faith is found, there'll be a clear, bold witness of the grace of God. May God give us that faith to believe. All right, Ronnie, you come lead us in a closing hymn, if you would.